Now, the lectionary compilers have decided we want to look at the subject of faith this week, as you see from these two readings, and particularly that gospel reading where Jesus speaks about faith like a mustard seed. When he says to the disciples, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." And that's quite a challenge, isn't it? There is a slight mistranslation here, actually. When it says faith the size of a mustard seed, in the original Greek, it doesn't say a size of, it just says faith like a mustard seed, faith as a mustard seed. And the size of the mustard seed is something to do with it. It's saying it's a small thing. But the key thing here is that not so much the size of the analogy that Jesus is using, it's the fact that it's alive. A seed is a living thing, isn't it? If it's put into its right environment, then it sprouts and grows. And as elsewhere, Jesus speaks about mustard seeds growing into trees that birds can perch on and can make their nests in. So it's that aspect of faith that I think he's trying to get a hold of. Faith is certainly something you can start out very, very small and it will grow. And that, I think, is what he's trying to get through to us. That we need that little germ, we need that starting point, but once we put it in the right environment, then it should grow and develop and actually produce something useful. The thing about faith is that it's meant to have legs. It's meant to actually do things. It's very interesting, actually, this week I had to do an assembly down in the primary school, and every week time we do an assembly down there, they have a theme for the week. And some of the themes are better than others, but this week was quite a good one. It was trust, so which is basically the same thing as faith, isn't it? So I kind of pondered on what I could talk to them about, and I thought the best thing was to try and help them realise how powerful faith is. So I told them about that television programme. I think I've mentioned it to you before, that's on Channel 4. It's called Don't Tell the Bride. I probably mentioned it before, haven't I? Because it really strikes me that's an amazing program. For those of you who've never seen it, what actually happens there is they find a couple who want to get married and perhaps are a bit short of the readies. So they give them some money on the condition that the groom or the future groom is the one that does all the planning for the wedding. So you actually watch and see what happens. They separate the bride and groom for 3 weeks before the wedding. And they're not allowed to do any planning before that point. And the bride is kept apart. And what she has to do, and this is the interesting, I think, from a faith point of view, she has to put all her trust in her future husband to get the kind of wedding that she wants. Now, when I was speaking to the children in the school, I said to her, "Who's the most important person at the wedding?" And they all said, "The bride." I said, "It's not the vicar, is it? Not at all. No, it's the bride." And we all know that, don't we? Every wedding that we've been to. I remember our son and daughter-in-law, who we did have a wedding in here for them just after we arrived, but it was a very small thing, just a few things. My mother could come over. But the proper wedding that they had planned, and particularly that Nicole had planned, happened down in France and really was something else. And I can't imagine Nicole would have actually done what this program asked and allowed our son Matthew to plan the wedding, because he's probably about as good at it than I would be. But anyway, the point about this program, and I was trying to get this across to the children, is that faith is very powerful. But it's about having faith not so much in something, but in a person. She's not actually saying, I trust something to happen, or I trust that if I do this, something else will happen. She's simply saying, I've got trust in my future husband for me to get the kind of wedding that I want. And the example I gave to them was a couple where the groom decided he wanted to get married on the pitch at Stoke City football ground at half time. And we actually see this on the film, on the television programme. They did actually go and get married on the pitch at half time in the Britannia Stadium in Stoke-on-Trent. And And she didn't know that was going to happen until she actually got to the football ground. Anyway, that's just the illustration. The point about this is that faith is very powerful. And Jesus is actually helping us to see how important it is here by this picture of the mustard seed growing into a plant. There's lots of other instances in the Bible of people acting in faith, and the most amazing things happen. Do you remember the account of the centurion that came to Jesus because his servant was ill? And he actually says to Jesus, "You don't need to come to my house, just say the word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus was really amazed by this man and by this man's faith in him, in Jesus. And he said, "I haven't seen such faith like this, not even in Israel." And he told the man to go home. And the man went home and found that his servant was healed. Remember the account of Peter walking on the water. Peter saw Jesus out on the lake walking. And he said, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come out to you." And Jesus said, "Come out." And Peter did. He walked out on the water. And it was only when he started to actually look at his circumstances that he started to sink under the waves. And of course, we know that Jesus reached out and held him, and they went back into the boat. But to have that experience of walking on water, it must have been a life-changing experience for Peter. But it was because he had at least a germ of faith in Jesus and in who he said he was. The other one that strikes me too is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, the angel came to her and told her what was going to happen. And the angel, it's quite clear actually, Mary did not have to accept that she was going to be the mother of the Saviour. But she said very clearly at the end to the angel, "May it be to me as you have said." She gave permission. She had the faith that what the angel said to her was true. And everything has flown from that. And even today, people do live by faith and exercise their faith in all sorts of ways. You remember our friends Sandra and Sarah who came and spoke here. They've been working out in Sierra Leone for the last 5 or 6 years, been out there several times. The charity that we set up has raised probably now £150,000, which has all been taken out there and used for building works and all sorts of other things in Sierra Leone. And that had been operating because Sandra and Sarah felt a real calling from God to do that work. I did a wedding in Newport a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to the guy who was organizing the car parking, and he told me his story. I wonder if I could just tell you this. It's an amazing story. He was a drug addict. He had a serious cocaine addiction, and a friend of his became a Christian, but only just become a Christian. And they started watching some videos of what happens in some churches where people get prayed for and actually are healed. And so they went to a church, really just out of the blue. And a man came in with his leg in a cast, in one of those removable plastic casts. And they said to each other, "Well, we've seen people pray for and be healed. Let's pray for this man." So they went over to him and said, "Can we pray for you?" And he said, "Okay." And they prayed for him, and he said his leg got really hot. And then he took the cast off, and his leg was actually healed. Now, this man that they were praying for was someone who had experienced that kind of healing. So it wasn't too surprising for him, though it was pretty amazing. They then, this chap I was speaking to, Danny, he said he'd always had this problem that one of his legs was longer than the other, and he had a serious problem with his back because of it. So his friend said to him, "Why don't we pray for your back or for your leg?" And they said they prayed for it, and they saw his leg grow out and his back pain went. And then he said when he got home, he realized he was no longer addicted to cocaine. Now, that's someone acting with, if you like, just that little tiny mustard seed of faith and seeing God powerfully at work. We can't command God to do anything, but by exercising the faith that he gives us and allowing it to grow, we can see amazing things. And I believe what church is about, church should be a place where we actually kind of nurture our faith. Church should be like the soil that the seed is planted in. in church here, we should be encouraging and supporting each other as we all grow in faith. I think my purpose standing up here is not to tell you what to do. It is merely to do that, to try and encourage you to grow in faith, to allow Jesus to work in your life, and for you to see things happening that you know can only have come from him. So let's all try to live by faith, even in the smallest way, conscious that our faith can grow if we give it the right environment. And seek to serve Jesus by serving each other and by serving the world. If we know we're doing things according to his will, then again, I believe we will see him work in us and through us. And we do need to encourage each other and even encourage people out in the world that by simply putting our trust and faith in Jesus, we can see amazing things. And I really believe too that when we get to heaven, we realize that this is the way that heaven works, by faith in the living God, not by us being wonderfully holy or clean people, but those who are willing to put their trust in Jesus and all that he's done for us. Amen.